maybe we'll offer this yoga session at lunch. Maybe we'll offer a nutritious eating seminar, right? Like, these are all things that organizations do that are actually helpful. However, they're so spread out and not systematic and not getting at the core of the work environment, actually changing the work environment. And that's why we find that if you actually take the people who you interact with on a daily basis, those people shape your day-to-day experiences. So if you can have an experience or a work environment where you're not stressed to begin with, or not overly stressed or overly worked to begin with, that's way better than being stressed and overworked and then like, yeah, but just go to lunch or blow off some steam doing a group cardio class. If you don't have steam to blow off at the same level, then that's what actually makes a difference.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Attention, attention, attention. You're tuning into the Going North Podcast. And today's special sponsor is the Going North Podcast Advancement Shop, baby. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because we got some brand new hats now to add to the collection. So that's right, folks. We got some Going North Podcast hats, some Advance Others to Advance Yourself hats, and a few other designs. So head over to the goingnorthpodcast.com shop. Pick up a hat or two. And today on the highlight reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome. Well, actually, shoot, who the heck am I kidding? We got a freaking another group of super special, awesome humans, I should say. It's one of those tag teams that appears on the podcast again, y'all. A handicap match for the host, a little 2-on-1, but it's going to be good for all the neighborhoods indeed. And I got to thank my good buddy, my man Neil Thompson, the fellow podcast host. He's the host of the Teach the Geek podcast. He does great work, and he's hooked me up with some great humans. Because today's guest, y'all, you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat, y'all. Multiple treats, if I do say so myself, because we got another first for the podcast. Even after interviewing close to 1,000 authors, we still get some new stuff going on. Because today's featured PhD tag team author duo today, y'all. They are speakers, teachers, researchers, workplace wellness experts, and the founders, y'all. The founders, they found something. They're the founder of their own wonderful company known as Worker Beings. Let's give it up for the good doctor, Dr. Patricia Grabarek, and the good Dr. Katina Sawyer. How you doing today, docs?
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Excited to have you both here, too. I'm like, all right, cool. It's been a while since I had a co-author duo show up on the podcast. It's been like freaking forever. And it's like, oh, wait, you both got PhDs. I'm like, all right, cool. All right, hello, docs.
Yes, and we met in grad school, so we know each other from that time period as well.
Because that was my first question, like, how'd you two even meet anyway?
Out at Penn State, where we bonded almost like trauma bonded, right? Grad school is an intense experience. Yes. Got to know each other real well there, and yeah, that was how we met, and we've obviously stayed connected ever since, which has been awesome.
Ah, there you go. That's right, indeed. One was the peanut butter. The other one was the jelly. He loved to see it.
That's, yeah. throw some bread in there. I don't know what the bread's a metaphor for, but yeah, you got yourself a sandwich.
The degrees. There we go.
There we go.
There you go. There we go. I knew there's something behind the paper that they printed the degrees on. It's really breadcrumbs. Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
That's right indeed, folks. Hear that right? So if you got a random diploma somewhere, find some peanut butter, some jelly, throw it on top of your diploma, grab another one, put it on top, you know, and just dig in. Just take a big bite.
Great sandwich.
Secrets revealed.
The most expensive sandwich in the world.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Sweet. So trauma bonded through going for higher education where there was more weed. I'm just joking. Ain't no more weed. It's just higher education. And then eventually becoming PhDs. So my goodness. So what was that like, and what led to the plan eventually starting a business together?
Yeah. So we both studied the science of the workplace and how to create happier and healthier environments for people to be productive in. And after grad school, I went into academia and Patricia went into practice. And the two of us were kind of seeing similar problems, both in the field and with our students, which was this science that we knew about how to create these happy and healthy workplaces was not getting out to the public. So a lot of the research that we do and a lot of the research that we read, you have to have access to a university library, or you have to pay a lot of money per article to get access. And then also on top of it, you have to be trained to sort of interpret what the articles mean, because they're written in a lot of jargon with a lot of statistics, a lot of things that are hard for, you know, we had to be trained to interpret them, and so would everybody else. And so we thought, you know, this is kind of wild system, right? That we have all this research, all of these things that are out there to help inform workplaces to be happier and healthier, but no one is aware of them. And so we decided, we were at a friend's wedding. We were drinking some wine and we were lamenting this fact, and we decided to do something about it. And so initially what we started with was a blog. And the blog was intended to translate the science into practice. And we still do that in a variety of mechanisms, but that was sort of the start of Worker Being.
So I wasn't a bee staying at the wedding? That lets a worker be.
I mean, the wine maybe lubricated the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, that could have been true.
There you go. The wine lubricated the conversation. You love to see it. They're like, nope, no ashy conversations here, buddy. We're starting a business.
We've had many less productive conversations over wine in our lives, but that one turned out to be pretty productive.
Yeah, our husbands, though, weren't certain that the other person was going to be into it when we woke up the next morning.
Yeah.
So they're like, just tread lightly. You don't know. Like, maybe they're not going to be into it. But we both are still into it.
We
so
were.
Well, that's good. Didn't wake up with like one of them random branded tattoos like a bowl the following morning saying Worker Being. So I was like,
yeah,
oh,
that we have not done yet.
Oh, shoot. She said, yes. Oh, shoot. There's a secret society we don't know about. It's the Worker Being Society, where you go into a secret room, wear beekeeper suits, and then you become a bee yourself.
I kind of like this idea. This is this. I'm taking notes.
There you go. It's going to be on the next episode. Be like, how to turn your work into a cult without the danger and the evil.
That's book number two.
Yeah.
There we go. There you go. That's right. Two PhDs. In this case, two PhBs.
We never even thought of that. That's we've never thought of that. So
that's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah.
There you go. That's Halloween costume for you both this following year. Like, yep, just wear bee suits. Be like, yep, we're worker beings, y'all. Mark.
Love it. We have put our pets in bee suits for Halloween.
That is
so
true.
So that's happened before. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, I like where this is free going. You love to see it, indeed. You love to see it, indeed. So my goodness, so with all this freaking research starting the wonderful business, helping out so many folks, especially in the workplace, because sometimes the workplace, at times it feels like you're in sand as opposed to concrete. At times you help folks to get back into the concrete. So my goodness, so with all of your wonderful experience, like, what's probably the most, I have to say, the most challenging things you've been noticing recently in organizations? Because we have a lot of changes in the past freaking shoot, what, 4 weeks of this whole year starting?
Oh my gosh. I know. There's been a lot going on and a lot of changes. And the thing that we really focus on in everything that we do is the fact that, like, organizations need to change, right? when we talk about how do we create healthier work environments, we start with leaders because we know that they drive change and create culture within an organization. And so they have a lot of power to create something that's a little bit better than what it is today. And what we're dealing with, especially in the US, is these cultures of overwork, and where we're expecting employees to basically put like all of themselves into the work environment, put so much time, effort, energy, and yet they're not getting what they need in return. So it's kind of a one-sided relationship in a lot of situations where we're not seeing the support needed for people to actually be the best selves and the most productive selves at work. So it's kind of this weird environment where people are asking a lot for employees, but they're not getting back what they want because the employees are actually not getting the support that they need, right? You kind of need both. You need people to feel good, feel supported, have time to disconnect, be able to have personal lives outside of work so that they're whole thriving people, and that when they show up at work, they can actually be productive and drive the results that the business wants. So the cultures we're creating right now are kind of counterproductive to the ultimate goal of what organizations are looking for.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Looking for, indeed. Because the good old overwork, all the burnout, and then it's like, oh, it ain't even burnout. It's like, we ain't even got no wax anymore for the freaking candle. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And I think also another thing, you know, that led us to focus on leaders and the importance of having good leadership in organizations is that companies, even well-intended companies, like there are some companies out there who want to do well by their employees. They have these budgets to spend on wellness-related programming, happiness, health at work, but they don't know what to do with it. And they're not dedicating their resources in a way that's actually going to have an impact. So a lot of organizations use like this spaghetti at the wall approach, like maybe we'll offer this yoga session at lunch. Maybe we'll, you know, have a step challenge. Maybe we'll offer a nutritious eating seminar, right? Like these are all things that organizations do that are actually helpful. However, they're so spread out and not systematic and not getting at the core of the work environment, actually changing the work environment. And that's why we find that if you actually take the people who you interact with on a daily basis, those people shape your day-to-day experiences. So if you can have an experience or a work environment where you're not stressed to begin with, or not overly stressed or overly worked to begin with, that's way better than being stressed and overworked. And then like, yeah, but just go to lunch and learn about how to cook better or something, you know, or blow off some steam doing a group cardio class. If you don't have steam to blow off at the same level, then that's what actually makes a difference.
Yeah, so what it comes down to, as Christina was saying, there's the organizations are focused on productivity. They might be recognizing this problem that people are not doing well, but instead of fixing the problem at the cause, right, what is causing this issue, the overwork, the environment itself, they're trying to help by just giving these kind of ad hoc solutions that people often can't take advantage of, because they are not able to, you know, focus on that because they have too much stuff going on. They're too tired at the end of the day, et cetera. So these kinds of programs are fun and great, but the environment has to be good first before you want to add in any of these kind of additional perks.
Ah, so true indeed. So true indeed. Yeah, because I love what Dr. Katina said about, hey, it's got to be systematic. Like the thing is, like systems, when they work, they freaking work. When you do it all sporadically and it's random things to see what sticks, it's like, yeah, it's a strategy. It might work, but it might not actually stick for real. And these days when they're cutting a lot of programs, it can be even more difficult. It's like, oh, it gets traction. Hooray. All right, let's cut it. It's like, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're all about the idea that this isn't an add-on. This is something that should be central to the culture. Because companies often fight themselves, right? They're producing a problem that then they're paying money to solve. They're producing overworked, burnout people, and then they're spending more money to fix that problem. Whereas if you just got the problem at the root, you wouldn't have to spend that money.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. That way, the death tree wouldn't be the death tree. It would just be plain land afterwards. You know, it's like, all right, cool. The root of the problem is gone. The death tree, we're good. That's right. The meadow's exactly. Coming back.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So my goodness, my goodness. And you're also fellow podcast hosts on top of that, providing a wonderful resource for folks indeed. So it was that, like, usually ask fellow podcast hosts their top three lessons from starting, growing, and running their podcast. So if y'all want to take turns or whatever, I don't know. If you both got three separate ones, feel free to let the audience know.
Oh, I'd have to think about that a little bit as to what would be my top three within our show. But we're actually kind of in a revamp right now, which has been fun. So we have really been focusing on other people's research in the podcast. Like, here's some research, here's some takeaways. But given now that the book is coming out and all of our research is completed around this topic, the next season is going to be focused on what we learned and some key takeaways from that. So we're really excited about kind of shifting gears a little bit in the podcast space.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when we first started, we didn't really know what was going to stick with audiences. And so one thing that I think was super helpful that we did early-ish on was we did a podcast audit. So we actually hired a team to listen to our episodes and look at our audience segments and try to help us to create the best show possible. And that was very helpful because they actually mapped out all the other shows that bared some similarity to ours and put us in a quadrant. So we found out that we're a chatty, casual podcast, but we're also research-based and science-based. So we leaned further into that. And in this new season, we also lean into that idea. So I think that audit was a good learning because, you know, you might not be able to see the pros and cons of your show clearly. You might need an external person to take a look.
Have you done something like that before, Dom?
Never really have, now that I think about it. Because, I mean, usually I pay attention to other popular podcasts and see what's been sticking. Also check my own data and see, oh, this episode is more popular than the others. Let's find out freaking why. And it's like I probably should down the road. I've thought about it, but the thing is, I'm usually so much of a relentless recorder and releaser. Like, I produce so much content. Like, the goal for the show right now is to interview 1,000 authors across the globe, and I'm probably like 30 shy of it. So it's like,
wow. That's massive. That's impressive.
Yeah, podcast.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Drug.
Yeah. I actually don't know how many episodes we have, Patricia. Do you know?
We have a few hundred. I don't know the exact number.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a few hundred, which is why when you said your top three, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know. I'd have to go in and look and see names and all that of the different episodes. But I think one thing that was really popular in some of our podcast episodes in the past, like people that really like topics like psychological capital, that's one that comes up a lot. So that's basically like this way that you can develop yourself internally and things like optimism and resilience that can help your performance and your goal achievement. That one's really, really, really popular because it's all about like sustainability, like on your own. So it's a little bit different than everything we've talked about so far, where we're really focusing on the systems and the broader change. It's an individual resource that you can build yourself if you're really in a tough place within your work environment. So that one's popular because I think people thought they could do something for themselves.
Yeah, I think we also learned. So yeah, we like focused on understanding and getting external perspectives on the show. We looked at what episodes are our most popular, like you were saying, Dom, to try to understand what's sticking. And then I think also we realized that we have a lot of content and we continue to produce content, but sometimes people don't know about all the content we have. So I think another learning for us. Yeah, I think another learning for us is that sometimes going back, instead of creating something new, sometimes going back to things that you have and reminding people and thinking about what's going on now that we could be helpful with, what's happening in the world of work that we already have content that could be useful, and making sure that we don't forget about the stuff we already did as we're moving into creating new things, because I do think that we have a large repository of helpful advice.
Have a large repository indeed. It's so freaking true indeed. It's some good stuff indeed. Got some good stuff going on over there indeed. And solid tips too, because yeah, it's really pays off to really have another set of eyes like really on whatever you're doing, because it's like, oh yeah, outside looking in, don't want to be that person. But if you have like a good mentor, good someone who's going to be honest with you, it's even better. Uh-huh. And it sounds like y'all did the great thing by doing that. Which
yeah,
is
we love data. That's a that's something that is consistent about us. Data, we love data.
Ah, there you go. Is that one of your favorite t-shirts or going to be a t-shirt down the road? We love data.
I heart data. It should be. It's true.
Yeah. I agree. I could use that shirt.
Hope y'all wonderful ladies got this fabulous book coming out next month at the time of this recording, Leading for Wellness, How to Create a Team Culture Where Everyone Thrives. So my goodness, what was the most difficult part about putting the book together? Because you do all this research, you could probably write 20 page papers in your freaking sleep, so I'm sure there's a freaking Noah's Ark size of content that didn't make it into the book. So how was it like putting it together? What was the most difficult part about it?
I think what you just said there is so right. Like, we had a lot of content, we had no trouble really with the writing part. I think trying to make it a little bit catchier was something that we need to work on, and so we got like great advice. But I think for us, it's navigating the process of publishing a book. That was an interesting challenge, because we just had never done it obviously before. We had these ideas, we were really excited about writing the book, but then it's the whole idea of how to find a publisher, an agent, going through that process. And then once the book was written, all the stuff on the back end, right? The way that they edit things, the way that audiobooks are handled, like all that kind of stuff is just learning the whole time. So I think for us, the process was, I mean, Katina can share if that she agrees with that, but I think the process is definitely what was the most challenging thing. That's just kind of learning all the new steps and what we should do, what's the best way to do it, the best practices. And as Katina said, we're really into data, and there's not like a ton of data as to like what's the best thing to do when you're at each phase of the book. So is kind of just navigating those waters. But the writing itself, I mean, one, having a partner writing helps a lot. So I knew that if I got stuck somewhere, Katina could help, or, you know, we were able to edit each other in a way that I think made the book really good and cohesive. But we're used to writing, and we love what we're writing. So that part came pretty naturally.
Yeah. And we also had a good structure. So the parts, like Patricia's saying, that were unknown to us were what's normal in this process, and the connections and understanding who you need to know to get in front of publishers. All of that was completely new stuff for us. And we were lucky enough and very grateful to have people who were willing to sit down with us and teach us those things and introduce us to groups of authors who were working on projects that they were willing to share their learnings. And so we had a really great support system around that, but that was definitely like trial by fire. We did not know what we were doing, and we were definitely not knowledgeable about that aspect. That's not something they teach you in school. We're content experts. We're not experts about how to navigate the book world, but we're also very structured in the way that we approach our work. And so I think something that was very helpful was we basically broke the book down into chapters and worked backwards. And that was especially helpful because we were able to really think through, you know, how much time do we have to write this? And then how much time does that mean we have for each chapter? And we had a system where one person outlines the chapter, one person fleshes out the outline, the other person goes back and edits it. That helped us to have a unified voice, but it also made sure that we really stayed on track with the publisher's deadlines. And so I think we just kind of pressed play on it. We had a plan. Every week there was a task to be done. We did the tasks, and then after all the tasks were done, the book was written, and that was it. So as Patricia said, it wasn't actually very arduous from that perspective. It was more the what you don't know what you don't know part of writing it.
Good stuff. Press and play indeed. I love that system.
Yeah. We live and die by the schedule. That's our our strategy as business partners.
Live and die by the schedule. It's so true. It's like, hey, if it ain't in the phone or the freaking calendar, good luck, buddy, because the brain ain't going to
exactly.
remember.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. Yes. We had everything blocked. So we knew when, you know, chapter one is this day, chapter two is this day. So we had all that there, which was super helpful, especially navigating all of the other things in our lives at the same time. It was super valuable to have that.
You love to see it indeed. You love to see it indeed. And congrats on getting Wild. It's a freaking publisher book. That's freaking huge on top of that. So what was it like? Because if I'm not mistaken, you secured an agent, if I heard you correctly, right?
Yes. Yeah, we did secure an agent. We had a few introductions. As Katina mentioned, we were part of this author group, which helped a lot. And people were willing to introduce us to their agents. And we obviously were able to secure one. And the thing that's amazing about an agent, so if anyone is wanting to go and publish a book and they're not sure if they want to go directly to the publisher themselves, well, the agent has relationships with publishers. They help shape your proposal in a way that makes it more catchy. Like they know what publishers are looking for in a way that you don't if you've never been there before. And oh my gosh, contracts. If we didn't have her to navigate the contract, what's normal, what's not normal, what can we push back on? I mean, we probably would have signed the first contract that came our way and been like, yeah, this is fine, I guess. So it's great to have her. Yeah, it's awesome to have her to like read through it, really understand the details and push back and get the best deal that we can get. So yeah, I would highly recommend going the agent route if you're trying to get published through a publisher versus like self-publishing.
Yeah, it's hard to tell even what's normal for a contract. So there's some weird stuff in book contracts that are standard. Like, you know, this is morbid, but if Patricia and I die, both of us, they can just give our book to someone else. Like they're the authors of that book now. And that seems super weird to us. However, that's normal, apparently, in the publishing world. So we probably, as an author team, would have been like, I don't want to sign this. This seems strange. And our agent was like, actually, this is pretty boilerplate. Like, you're not going to get a different cut. So that was learning for us. Things that seem weird but are normal. And then also things that seem normal but are weird. Stuff that, you know, gets into contracts where it doesn't raise any flags for us, but, you know, the agent notices that maybe we want to switch some things around. So that was definitely important for us because, as we said before, that wasn't part of, you know, they don't teach any of this stuff in school. So that was not something where we have expertise on.
So in 150 years, that's written D, leading from the workplace, that's written D. Written by Jennifer Hickenbottom and freaking Margaret Marx.
Once the book comes out, they can't give it to someone else. But before the book comes out, they could. So, yes. As long as we make it to March 25th, we're good.
All right, good. Snow Aloysius Lewis on the book cover. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty confident we'll make it there.
Good times indeed. Good times indeed. Well, my goodness, since you're going on a tour promoting the work that you're doing, and especially promoting the magical book that's going to be released. Actually, even before I asked this one, so the audiobook, are you ladies reading it?
We are not.
No,
we tried.
We auditioned, but apparently the professional narrators are better, which makes sense. That is their job.
Yeah. We thought maybe we could hang with the pro narrators, but apparently, yeah, there's some skill involved that the average person does not have.
And this is an interesting thing too. Like, this is actually a decision the publisher makes, right? So the publisher gets the final say. The same with like the title, like we don't get the final say in the title. That's the publisher gets the final say on that. The cover, we get a lot of input in all those things. But really the meat of the book is like us. And then the cover and the title and the audiobook, those are all things the publisher gets final say on. And publishers outsource kind of the audiobook. And so then, yeah, they ultimately get to work with that vendor that does the audiobook and decide whether or not we're, you know, the author is the right fit. And this time around, we were not, but that's okay. I think it'll be good. We got to have input. So we did get to hear auditions of narrators and decide like what we thought was the closest vibe to what we were going for. So that's really nice that like we do get input along the way, but it's not our final call.
Eh, boo. That was the territory. Well, hey. Well, but anyway, so my goodness, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the microphone?
Ooh. That's a great question. I mean, I think the questions that we get the most often are around like the key takeaways of the book or what, you know, what's one thing might want people to know about the book. And I think those are always good because it's very open-ended and we're able to kind of share our thoughts. Sometimes they change, right? Like the key takeaways aren't going to change, but what's the one thing you want people to know might change based on the environment around us and the context we're in. So I always like those questions.
Yeah, agreed. I think, as we said, we love data. So when we can share our data with people, we get very excited. And that's part of why we were motivated to write the book, because we know there's so much good stuff out there. We've added some new good stuff to the pile of good stuff that already existed in the research world around workplace wellness. And we just really like to communicate that in as many formats as possible because we know it can have an impact. So whenever we can share our data, we're happy.
There you go. You love the data. I love the data.
We do. We need that t-shirt.
That's right indeed. Precious data. That's right indeed. Come to the brain. That's right.
It's true.
Well, they say books are food for the mind. It's a fabulous book, Leading for Wellness, How to Create a Team Culture Where Everyone Thrives. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, you know what? I don't know, Patricia, if you agree with this. I feel like it would have to be some sort of like really good, but like tasty, but healthy, like salad with like a good protein in it. Like it has a lot of meat, but the point is kind of like detox your workplace, right? So I feel like it would have to be something that tastes great, feels good, but then afterwards you're like, I just feel healthier for having eaten that. Like, I think that's kind of what I would characterize.
Yeah, I think it's an entree salad. So it's not yes. an appetizer. It's not yes. like a dessert. It's like you need to have the entree, right? The other things are add-ons. This is your entree salad. This is the thing that's going to create the work environment that everyone wants to work in. And then you can add an appetizer of mindfulness meditation apps. And you can add a dessert of, you know, team building parties. Great. But we're the entree salad that's complex, but light and will hold you over because it's got that protein in there. But like you said, kind of you walk away feeling healthier.
There you go. It's right there, the entree indeed. Yeah, let the podcast be the appetizer. You love to see it.
There we go. It's a full meal you got.
That's right indeed. All the worker bee calories. And it's all zero.
Yes. True.
So my goodness, I got the book coming out next month. Anything else you ladies excited about over the next 6 to 12 months you got planned?
I think we're just going to ride the wave of this book. We really are excited to get the message out there. We're working hard to, you know, get on shows like yours and get some momentum so people find the book, understand what we're trying to share, right, and actually take action. So what we're hoping to see is leaders buying this book, walking away, and actually going forward and creating this new way of behaving so that they can create the environments that can change the culture. So our goal is just to really get this in as many hands as possible, go to organizations and talk about it and try to get these cultures and workplaces to change for the better, because we spend so much time at work and we know that how you feel at work and what happens at work is going to influence the rest of your life, your day-to-day life. And we want people to be feeling good and be healthy and thriving in all aspects of their life. And we think that taking what you can learn and the action plans that are built in the book can really make a big difference.
Yeah. And I think we're also excited about our podcast season. Our new podcast season will drop as a companion to the book. And that, I think, was really fun to put together because in the book, you learn a lot about our research participants and their experiences with workplace wellness and the generator leaders. We call them the leaders that really made an impact, a positive impact on their health and wellness. But you don't hear a lot about our stories and the way that we've experienced generator leaders or the opposite of that, what we call extinguisher leaders. So in the podcast season, we really elaborate on our personal work experiences, what we've seen work well, what we've seen not work so well, and give kind of tips and advice, both based on the book, but also based on our own connection to these concepts, which doesn't come through as strongly if you're someone reading the book.
Yes, right indeed. Extinguisher leaders, if I'm not mistaken, that's where they come out and put out your fire, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you got a fire inside you and they want to squash it out. So yeah, that is accurate.
Avoid like the plague.
Basically, yeah, that's our advice.
And if you're a leader, change. Like, I don't think anyone wants to be an extinguisher, right? So
yeah,
how can you become a generator instead? And that's what the book kind of shows you what to do.
You love to see it indeed. You love to see it indeed. So my goodness, so it's all about freaking having great work environments, great freaking work culture. So is there like a favorite workplace, a booster from your experience where it's like there's this one thing that I always love to do and it makes the workplace freaking awesome?
It's a great question. I think the one, for me, the one overarching thing that leaders can do is tailor what they're doing to each person. So you got to get to know the person and you got to figure out with that person involved what makes sense to support them. So if I was just kind of boil everything down into one thing, it's just how can you as a leader really get to know people to that the support you provide and the help and the guidance you provide makes sense for that person. Not easy, but it's like one big thing that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, the individualization is super important, but the key to being able to individualize your wellness plans, because wellness means something different to everybody, is those conversations and setting aside time to really get to know that person and understand what they need compared to other people and trying to get creative about how do you create an environment that works for everybody. So yeah, I agree with that. The individualization is super important, but the mechanism that gets you there is really understanding who people are and getting to know them.
Yeah, getting to know them indeed. You got to tailor it for them. That's right, yep. Indeed. Doesn't even have to be a Taylor Swift.
No.
Taylor Swift probably has her own needs.
Yeah. Yeah. But if she wants to read the book and talk to us, we're happy to do it.
There you go. Find a way to get all the Swifties to wear worker bee suits and buy the book.
Yeah, there we go. Join the cult.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. And Wallet be like, all right. You gals are going to write freaking 10 books for the next 10 years. You did it.
There we go. Love it. I think the Taylor Swift cult is pretty intense. So we have some ready and willing folks that would be they've already done it. They've already done joining a cult once. They could do it again.
That's right, indeed. And besides, not to worry, this one isn't as intensive.
Yeah, exactly. True.
Oh, man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and I'm pretty sure it's different for both of you fabulous ladies. So if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, I think the advice I give myself is to chill. Like, everything's going to be fine. Take a deep breath. At 25, where was I at 25? I was like just starting my career. I think I just finished my doctorate degree. So trying to let myself have a little bit of downtime, like take a breath. You're okay. You're going to be great. Like, don't over focus on your success in a way that can be problematic, right? I feel like I was just like so hyper focused, like where am I going to be in a year, 6 months, like planning. And none of those plans, like while I think that I've done great in my career, things change so fast and what your career trajectory looks like changes and evolves. So like, just take a breath and like, let like ride the wave. Like, it's going to be fine. You know, it's the obsessive planning of my next step in my whole career was not helpful. So yeah, basically just chill.
Mine's the opposite. I wish I was like a little less chill about the planning. Like, I definitely just tried stuff and saw if I liked it and used like the feedback I was getting from being in that environment of whether that was the right path or not. And I wasn't really thinking like, where do I want to be in 10 years or where do I want to be in 5 years? I was very much like, yeah, I'll try this. And like, if I'm good at it, great. And if I like it, whatever. But I kind of stumbled into the career path that I'm on now. And if I had been maybe more strategic about it, I could have entered into the field in a different way, potentially.
Mm.
But I just kind of was... I have always found like everything interesting and I do have a lot of confidence that I can be successful at things. So I was just kind of like, yeah, I'll try that and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, I'm sure I can figure something else out. And so I never really had like, I did not do obsessive planning. I'm not like a very anxious person when it comes to that kind of stuff, but I probably should be more. But so that would be my thing.
So I think the ultimate story here is you got to find a middle ground, right? Like plan a little bit, but don't get so attached to your plans because, you know, even though I had all these ideas and plans as to what was going to happen, like none of it happened the way I thought it was going to happen, which is good. I'm happy where I am now. So like, you know, be a little bit looser with those plans, but maybe a little bit of planning is important.
Yeah. Yes.
So it looks like Dr. Patricia's the fire and Dr. Katina's the ice.
That could be true.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Got Katina over here. It's like, yeah, chill. It's like, I'm here. It's fine. Like, I'll figure it out. And Patricia's like, go, dang gummit. Take over the world. Are you with us or against us? What are you talking about? Boom, out of the way. 6 month plan successful. Ha ha. Right indeed. 12 month plan. Shoot, not as successful. Too many folks showed up. All right, cool.
It's true, though.
Maybe you're
random
a fortune
wrinkles.
Teller. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, hey. You got a whole bunch of wonderful knowledge, and folks only probably got 0.5% of it between the two of you, and folks need to dive into the other 99.5. So for those who need to do just that and keep up with your latest wonderful journeys, what's the best way for folks to do so and cop multiple copies of your fabulous book?
So the best place to find all the information about the book is at workerbeing.com/book. And workerbeing is spelled WORKERBEEING. Which is where the little B came in. And that's going to have all the details on the book and where to buy it. Or pretty much any bookseller that you're interested in would have a copy. And then follow us on LinkedIn. We're posting on LinkedIn all the time, sharing what's going on. You know, any updates on articles or our podcast or anything, you'll find at LinkedIn. So finding us on LinkedIn is a great place to go.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. Reach out to the fabulous docs on the LinkedIn, y'all. That's right indeed. Keep up with all the stuff that they're doing. Going to put a link to all their wonderful goods in the show notes that we can keep up with their journeys. Indeed, check out the site, subscribe to the newsletter, cop some copies of the magical book, especially when it drops, and they got you covered like a blanket. That's right indeed. If it's still winter when you're listening to this, they got you covered like two blankets, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed, y'all. That's right indeed. Well, any parting words for the folks before we close up shop?
Yeah, I mean, just get out there and be the leader that people want to work for and the leader that you want to be. Make people happier and healthier. And if you need some tips, we got them.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.